Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, the man with the mic, Kyle. What a wonderful conversation we got for you. As you know, this past weekend was Sandy 500 Memorial Weekend, and something a 94-year-old man did, a veteran of World War II. I want to get into that. I also want to get into... He was a beauty school dropout. That was great. That's something that you're never too old to live out your dreams. The question is now is where's he going to college? Because he got his high school diploma. Chelsea Clinton, you know, the other like spewing of whatever out of her mouth, you know, she's defecating whatever. Well, she came out and said that the Trump White House is venal and corrupt, and they focus on making our lives harder. What does she know about a hard life? She's been given everything. Well, House Majority Leader Nancy Pelosi has faced questions last week about where she stands on the kneeling of the NFL, and I want to get into this because now they're taking the kneeling of the NFL and they're bringing it to talk about, you know, they're trying to make it about, like, because there was a German football team that refused to basically salute Nazi Germany, and they're kind of saying, well, this is the same thing. I'll get into that. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan declared a state of emergency in Ellicott City, and I want to get into that because, I mean, they're just, I mean, you see Jeeps that are being washed away. Flooding. It's, I mean, normally Jeeps are one that, like, saved the day. They're like tanks, and they're just being watched. It's sad. And our thoughts and prayers go out with them. That's all I want to get into. I run a support group, as many of you know, and I want to get into the support, but I might do a whole show on this because, like, the debate, and I've seen this before, and my producer brought this up. Well, should someone that's, if I run the support group, should a spouse, like, if my spouse is normal, which my wife is not normal, she has fibromyalgia and issues, but if my wife was pretty much normal, should she be a part of the support group or have a support group of her own if she doesn't understand what I go through and what I deal with every day? You know, so I want to get into that and much, much more. So, welcome to the conversation that you're a part of, folks. James 4:7. So humble yourself before God, resist the devil, and he will free you. He will free from you. No. Flee, not free. What am I? That's what happens when you got a cracked screen, but hey, what the heck? It's cool. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got a wonderful show, folks. This just got to the cockles of my heart when I heard a 94-year-old actually went back to college. Now, he went back to high school. He dropped out and got his degree. And I wondered this because I don't know. Did they go off to his standards that he had back then? Or did he have to know high school stuff that they know now? It doesn't really say. Because it's a lot harder to do high school now than it was when he was in. They didn't know about DNA and a lot of that stuff back then. But hey, I think it's still cool though. He was a part of the Army where he served in the Air Corps, the 4th Infantry, 98th Division. They spent time in northern France and central Europe during World War II. Thank you for your service. Just interesting, you know, but it doesn't really say. And that's one question I had, like, well, did he have to go by our standards or the standards that he had when he was in high school? Just so you're never too young to live out your dreams. What can you do? I mean, makes me wish I would go back and get my kindergarten diploma. See, we never graduated kindergarten. We just went to the first grade. Now they got ceremonies and... Hey, we're going to open up some sparkling grape juice for you, son. You graduated kindergarten. Congratulations. Take them out to dinner. Is it? Have we gotten that bad in this world that, like, they may not go on past to the first grade?
Your folks were the first. I
But you think about it. I mean, I see like graduation ceremonies with cap and gowns for like first graders, kindergartner. I'm like, really? Have we gotten that bad that, well, my son might not go on past the second grade. I need to have a graduation for him just in case he never. I could see in like northern, like up in the mountains of Kentucky or in the mountains of Mississippi or in like West Virginia, you know, the rednecks that hit people not graduating like first or second grade, but like the average person.
You're about ready to have a real heavy redneck out here.
I'm, but like the average person, I'm sorry, the average kid in this country, I would say, we'll go to 12th grade. So I don't understand this graduation in kindergarten and stuff. That's what I'm saying. Like these, you know, the people that when you drive by their house and the mailbox it says MALE as a joke and no one gets it. But what I'm saying is, I don't understand. But this guy went back to school, and good for him. Yeah, my wife is from West Virginia, so I say that with love. I gotta find the volume knob. Anyways, I want to get into this because, you know, it Chelsea Clinton is calling President Trump's White House venal and corrupt, and they focus on making our lives harder. And how has my life been any easier since Bill Clinton took office? You know, I mean, think about it like that, folks. Just think about that. What does she know about a hard life? She's been given everything she has. Everything she has. But guess what? I wish I had her life. I wish I could be like Hillary Clinton having $100 million net worth saying, I understand what you're going through. I understand your day-to-day struggle. Sorry, Hillary. I don't stumble and fall down steps and trip and need help walking up steps. I don't understand that struggle. Because of my myopathy, yes, I have struggles, but I don't get it. What does Chelsea know about struggling Americans? Like I've said this before, and this was when Barack Obama and John McCain were running for president. I said this. We have a 100-meter dash. Barack Obama, John McCain. Who's going to win the race? Well, Barack Obama's going to win the race. He's going to get to the finish line faster. He is. They're going to get to the same endpoint. Whether you chose Barack Obama or John McCain, they were both going to get us to the same endpoint. And near the end of John McCain's life, as it's getting near the end of it, we're starting to see how liberal he really is. Not conservative, how liberal he is. There were many talk show people that said the same thing I've said many times. Whether you got Barack Obama or John McCain, they're both going to get us to the end point. One's going to do it way faster. Yep. You're not, it's not gonna, it's not like, oh, thank God we got John McCain because this country's gonna be 100% better. No, they're both gonna, they both are gonna do the same stuff. One's gonna do it 10 times faster and you're gonna notice it more. It'd be like saying, okay, well, I'm gonna gamble $1,000. My wife's gonna gamble $5. Well, we're both gambling. You're just gonna notice the bank accounts a lot lower with me because if we lose, we're at $1,000. We're only at $5 if she does. We're both gambling, you know, but, and that's what people don't realize. You know, all we get is these leftists. They don't, well, what are you doing, Chelsea, to make America great? What are you doing to give back to this country? What are you doing to help out? What are you doing? You know, Donald Trump is giving back to this country, and I love this. This quote, it's great. Let me see if I can find it here. Yes. Donald Trump sacrificed his wealth for our country. Hillary Clinton sacrificed our country for her wealth. And that's a big thing. You have people like House Majority Leader of the Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi, was facing questions about, you know, the NFL kneelers and where does she stand and where does she stand and what does she think and all this stuff. And they're comparing the NFL kneelers to a 1943 German football team who did not salute, do a Nazi salute. And they're saying that this Trump and the NFL demanding players don't take a knee during the national anthem, that they're comparing them, that they're the same. They're not the same. You're basically saying that, okay, these Germans that I would have supported because they're not supporting Nazi Germany. So you're comparing America to Nazi Germany. That's what you're comparing. Because Trump has nothing to do with this kneeling down crap. He's just, to me, you can say whatever you want. That you can call it whatever you want to call it. They're disrespecting the national anthem. They're disrespecting this country. You can call it that they're protesting or whatever you want to say, but they're disrespecting the national anthem. And technically, if you really want to get truly deep down correct, there's only one, the design of the American flag, that design should only be in one thing, a flag. It's technically disrespecting it if you were to knit a Afghan with the stars and stripes, or to make it, put it on a shirt, or on underwear, or on bras, or on a swimsuit. Technically, if you want to be really correct about, if you look into it, that's all disrespecting the American flag. But most people don't really care that it's on a plate. They think it's patriotic. When you get down to it, though, they're protesting. No, they're disrespecting the national anthem. And what would you, and then explain to me what you mean by protesting when you have someone like Colin Kaepernick who took a knee because he, because of the inequality in this country. Let me get this straight. A white family takes him in, raises him, gives him a better life. He's a multi-million dollar NFL player, and he's calling that, he's calling inequality on that. He's calling that he didn't have the same equal chance as other kids. It's kind of like saying, well, yeah, I won the $20 million Powerball, but, you know, I'm mad because I should have had the $500 million Powerball. I mean, I don't get it. He was given opportunities to better himself. He was giving chances. And what does he do with it? He takes a knee. He wears a Cuban shirt for a country. You want to know what those Cubans have on their clothes? American flags. You're going to say that, well, I don't have, there's inequality. You want to talk about inequality? Go to North Korea or go to Cuba. If you get a eat, you thank the dear leader. If you get a drink, you thank the dear leader. If you complain about how much food you're getting, you're going to a prison camp. That's inequality. That's inequality, not here. But they're trying to compare them. A German football team didn't hail Hitler, and now they were banned from playing football. And you're comparing that to NFL players that are taking a knee, and we're. If you really don't like this country, you shouldn't be here. Point blank. It's not. It's kind of like saying, I have freedom of speech, so I'm going to burn the American flag. How does that make sense? You're going to burn the very thing that gives you the right to have freedom of speech? And now the big thing is there's millions of, I have friends that are posting all these videos about another a day in the life of a black person being harassed by the cops. And I said, well, first of all, and I actually commented on one of the videos. And I'm like, well, I'd have to know the whole story. Because if you watch live PD, they have, until you see the whole scene and know all the story and know everything in the background and what they did and what happened, then you can try to piece together, okay, was it justified, was it not justified? And I've seen videos like that that have a black person as a police officer, so. And I'm going to say this, and this is something that I'm used to it. And this involves my wife. And it's not bad. But whenever I go anywhere with my wife, whether it's a race or everything or anything, I see every single solitary person that notices us takes a double look. Am I an adult and she's a little kid? Kind of look like they have to do that double look. I know. And I'm just like, and
I don't even know.
I know. See, you're new to it.
No.
No, I am. I'm new to it.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not you. And to me, it weirds me out in a way. It goes to, okay, well, you can say you're discriminated against because you're black, all this crap goes on. Well,
let me tell you about discrimination.
Yeah. I mean, that's how, you know, all this stuff. I mean, I have had people come up to me, you know, that's for handicap parking. I'm like, you have to have a placard. I'm like, oh, what do you mean a placard? I can't use a license plate. He goes, what are you talking about? I said, I can't use my disability license plate. And they don't realize I have a disability license plate. When they see that, they're like, oh. Oh. Okay. And then, like, you know, they don't, well, you know, you can't be using someone else's, this is my car, this is my, I said, you can get the police here, check the plate, I don't have to disclose anything of what's wrong with me. Now, I've gotten that many times. Because when you're 30-something, when you get it, you know, they don't expect you to have a plate. And there's discrimination all over. I've dealt with it myself. I'm not getting into it, but I've had major discrimination. So this notion that only black people deal with that crap, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not trying to dismiss some of the stuff they go through, because some of it, it's real. I'm not denying it. But you act like, well, this is a day, every day, this is what we deal with. And we can't have a barbecue in our own house. And actually, someone, because there was a video where guys like, I'm like, well, and I said, well, I'd have to know all the circumstances, because in every neighborhood, they have what's called the homeowners association. And a lot of those, okay, they tell you what kind of fencing you can use. They tell you, like where Glenn Beck lives, they can't have a flagpole. It's not allowed in their homeowners association. I have a good friend from France when she was here. She didn't have a dryer. She used to hang everything on a clothesline. The homeowners association doesn't allow it. And they're like, well, da-da-da-da-da, and they're going ballistic. She goes, this is how I always, you know. And if there's someone next door, if there's a white family barbecuing and no one's saying anything, and then they're going off, then that's a whole different ballgame. But you only see one side of the story, so you don't know what the whole thing. But there's discrimination all over, you know. Remember, folks, as I end the segment, we all bleed the same color. We're all beautiful when we come together. We need to come together. Person's an a-hole to you, just kiss his ass. Just be the nicest person you can back. I want to get into a huge, 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 huge topic, folks. Because this is huge. You know, this is, if you haven't heard, the All About Communist Network has canceled Roseanne because she made some racist tweets. Yeah, she made a funny kind of racial joke, which is, compared to what they say on The View, is peanuts.
Compared to what any of them say is peanuts.
Oh, I know, it is.
Maxine Waters, please.
And that's what we're going to talk to. Because I want to get into this a lot, because there are people that are saying, well, you're pissed that she doesn't have freedom of speech here, but then you're mad, you want these NFL players to stand up, you know, the double standard. I'm like, well, no, they're disrespecting the national anthem. Why don't you try to fix the problem? I would have respect for Colin Kaepernick if he goes, well, I kind of feel like not with me, because I had a white family pick me up. I had a white family give me a great life. I have a great life because of it. I am an NFL player because of it. Thank you, mom and dad. But I feel there's some inequality in this world, and I want to work to help fix it. If he would have done that, I would have had so much respect for that man, because he's trying to do something. All these black people want to do is show this inequality. See, we're just going to bash Trump. Trump's the reason why we have all these cops and all this inequality. It's just Trump. We're not going to try to fix anything. We're just going to bitch and piss and moan.
Well, just like Rush Limbaugh said today, any NFL players, all they had to do is say, hey, I want to say something. They don't have to do it when they're working. When they're on the field, they're working. They're getting paid to be there Monday through Thursday or whenever. Like right now, they can get in the mic, do a press conference, and talk about it when it's their free time, like Roseanne did.
Yep. Exactly.
That's what freedom of speech is. They don't need to do it on the field. They can do it during the week or whenever.
And I guarantee you, you people that do not support, like Donald J. Trump, you know, how dare they, you force them to stand for the national anthem. Oh, but you were perfectly fine when they were wanting Tim Tebow.
He prayed,
yeah. And it's like, do that on your own time.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, now that Trump, you know, I mean, see, I lost all respect day one. And if they would have sat there and and Kaepernick would have said, yeah, well, and said this and said, hey, this is how I feel. No, he thought he was going to be some Black Lives Matter hero and save the day, and it backfired. The only reason why, the true reason why the NFL is doing what they're doing is because they've had so many people that have taken videos and saying, yeah, I used to be a Steelers fan. If they're not going to stand for the national anthem, I'm burning all my shit.
I don't think there's any hope going back from the NFL.
There was a Colts. Yeah, I'm a veteran. I stand for the national anthem. I'm not. I could sell these tickets, but I'm burning them. I'm done. When they had, okay, so many people that wanted to cancel their NFL Sunday ticket, and they gave refunds. They lost billions. But whatever, that's when they did something. That's when they finally said, "Oh, we got to do something, because we're okay." No, if like I've said. If Colin Kaepernick would have said, hey, I want to thank my wife, I want to thank my family or whoever, I have a great life because of mom and dad, they gave me a life I couldn't have, but there's a lot of people that don't have the life I had, and I want to give back, and I want to make sure that the inequality that's there, that I believe is there, I want to fix it. Why doesn't Al Gore spend his millions fixing global warming?
Well, he can have a shirt out where Trump shoots himself.
Yeah, and that's legit. That's okay. Why isn't ABC canceling The View over that? That's 100 times worse than what Roseanne did, but whatever. But I hate to say it. That is gonna bite them in the freaking butt. I know so many people who said that. I can tell you right now, straight up, if you could pay for the channels you wanted to watch, and MSNBC wouldn't even exist, CNN wouldn't even survive, ABC would be gone after this incident, because they would not have enough people buying their channel to keep it on the air. What they do is they take every network and they take all the cables and they put all the money in the giant pool and then they divvy the money and funds out of that to all the networks. But that's the reality. I would not watch ABC. I wouldn't pay for it. There's a lot in that. I wouldn't watch. And they said, and there's people that have come out with, well, since we haven't had fake news until we had a fake president. And I'm like, really? Because I've called it the Communist News Network for years, for like 12, 13 years. I remember I was in the car with my brother Don, and we're going to like a swap meet kind of flea market thing. This is like 8 years ago or whatever. And his brother goes, they're talking about something on CNN. I'm like, what? You actually watch the Communist News Network? And he goes, no, I couldn't stand watching that. And I said, he goes, and we couldn't believe that, like, we all called it the same thing. Because it said it's nothing but, like, it's all lies, it's all fake. And that was before Trump was president. People called it fake news. I want to thank you so much for tuning into the program, and I hope you feel a part of, folks. And if you really want to have a laugh, go on YouTube and watch some of these North Korean videos where they show, like, the news where they say that, where they tell the North Korean people that they won the World Cup and stuff. It's hilarious because they didn't win the World Cup. They haven't done this. But their people believe that. It's utterly hilarious. But it's like the U.S. It's amazing what people believe in the U.S. just because they watch liberal media. I want to thank you all so much for tuning in wherever you are around the world, but doesn't matter where you live. Question what you're told by the media. For some reason in this country, we have people that want to have kings and want to go back to the days of kings and queens. And, you know, we are in this country because we wanted to have freedom of Christian religion. That's what people don't get. That is the first and foremost thing. It wasn't about freedom of religion in general. It was so that you could practice and worship Jesus in the way you wanted to, and not the way the kings and queens and the government told you you had to. That's, you know, they have all these like liberals that are like, well, we're going to come get your guns. And there's a picture of a British officer and it goes, hun, lady, kids, we already tried this. We got our ass kicked. I don't know one person that owns a gun that's just going to, I would say about 0.05% of the population would hand over their guns. 99% of them plus would sit there and, okay, well, if you own my guns, I'm dead. I mean, but what's amazing is you have these people like Chelsea Clinton and Nancy Pelosi that act like they understand how we live and how we know what you need to do is you need to realize that they have $100 million net worth. They have fences around their house. They have brick walls around their houses. See, they don't want to talk about that crap. I do that to all my liberal friends. I'm like, yeah. Okay, so can you please explain to me how Nancy Pelosi understands how I live? Explain to me why she has a 20-foot brick wall around her house, but she doesn't want to have a wall at the border. Explain to me that one. Explain to me how she wants to take away my guns, but she wants 75 people around her carrying guns. If you haven't heard, in Ellicott City, Baltimore region, was devastated by a once every 1,000 years flood. And if you see this, the videos that are on ABC and NBC and Fox and all over, it is just devastating. I mean, there are businesses and cars submerged. And it's, I can't even pronounce it, but it's the Patapsco, Patapsco River, that was stricken by a deadly flood in July of 2016, and this is just as bad. It's 13 miles west of Baltimore, and I mean, a state of emergency isn't even the right word for it. I mean, it's devastating. It's like Katrina. I mean, there are cars that are like Jeeps that are like, I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I mean, there's billions of dollars of damage. 96% of businesses were getting ready to, you know, back in business and back in operation and all this stuff. And just 2 weeks ago, Hogan announced the Federal Emergency Management Agency had awarded the state and county more than $1 million to pay for projects aimed at reducing the flood risks and all this stuff. And then this happens. They were just given $1 million to make things look this. It could probably lessen the flood like this. And I mean, our hearts and our thoughts and our prayers go out with that whole community, that whole family of Americans. You know, we come together. So I think I might have a caller just a second. Hello? Hung up on me. So. Yeah. I'm gonna thank you all so much. And hopefully in the coming days, we'll know what we can do, what they need help-wise. And I can pass that information along so we can help those people of Ellicott City. And, you know, that's what we do. We come together as Americans. got about 23 minutes left in the program, folks, and I want to get into a topic that my wife kind of brought up, and I said I might actually do a whole show on this, but with like I run a support group, as you know, for myopathy that I deal with, and when you can't be put in one, hey, you start one. The big question I ask is somebody goes, well, I didn't realize that, you know, it's mainly for only people that have the issues. So that, like, if I talk about something in my support group, I can talk about what issues I have, because it's me. But with other people, you know, I don't talk about what other people say in the support group just because it's confidential. You know, and with the support group, you know, we keep it with only people that deal with the issues so that if I talk about something, someone else understands what I'm going through. You know, and my wife belongs to a myopathy support group one and fibromyalgia, never mind. That's my support group. What a long day. But anyways, with her support group, same way. If you don't deal with fibromyalgia, you know, it's for people so that if I say something, people understand what I'm going through, what I'm dealing with. But then I've heard from her that there are some people that, hey, after 20 years of marriage, when I finally was diagnosed about 5 years ago with this, I had a spouse leave me. They don't get it. They don't believe it. They don't understand it. And should there be a sect of support group or a sect of...
And they even say their parents, their brothers, none of their families understand.
No one gets it. And should there be, should they have their separate support group that says, hey, my daughter's dealing with this. We don't get it. We don't understand. Should there be something like that so that they can, I mean, or should they be allowed into a support group to say, hey, you know, there are many people, but then, you know, that so that they can see what goes on and what they deal with and see that there's other people that deal with this. But I know some people, no, you all are just making excuses. You're all lazy. You're all, you know, whatever, you know, there are people that will never believe you no matter what. I remember when I went to see my muscular dystrophy doctor, my mom's like, well, when we go down to the racetrack and we go from this Bob Emmons down to the track, I can tell halfway there he's having a hard time. He goes, ma'am, I walk that every, because my muscle doctor, we spend about 10 minutes of the appointment talking about Formula One and IndyCar and stuff like that, because he's a huge motorsports fan as I am. And he's like, ma'am, I walk that all the time because I park my car there and I walk down every year. And your son should be able to do that from that Bob Evans. It's like a Vietnamese place now to the track and back like 5 or 6 times, not even bat an eye. It's only like a mile and a half, I think, or 2 miles. It's not far at all. But okay. And so this notion that he doesn't exercise or whatever, I don't buy that. And I don't think she gets it more now. I don't think she gets it, but she understands. She's more accepting of it. Like, I don't understand why you have a disability placard, but I know, I think she tries to get it, but she doesn't, you know. I would say she's like 60 to 70% under, yeah. To where she, like, there's something like, you look normal. What, I don't get it. Why do you have issues? Why are you in pain? Why are you hurting? Why have you had vertigo? Why do you have muscle spasm? Why do you deal with all this stuff? And it's just one of those things, like, should a spouse of someone that goes through something be in a support group, or should they have their own? And saying, hey, my daughter has fibromyalgia and I don't get it. You know, I just think she's effing lazy. You know, well, so does my daughter. She has this and she, well, you know, and...
How do we expect people to understand us if we don't help them understand? You know? Putting that out.
Yeah, my producer's basically like, well, how can we expect them to understand if you don't open up and say, hey, this is what we deal with? But then, well, I could say this. Well, okay, well, I try to open up to you and tell you what's going on, but you just kind of seem like you're on your own. Like you do whatever you want to do. You know, like, well, no matter what I tell you, you're not going to believe me anyways. So, I mean, I would just say, okay, so what would it take for you to understand or believe me? That's the question I would ask. What do you need to do to believe me? What can I do to prove to you that this is real? I mean, I think when I've gotten a disability placard, my parents still, because I had my sister basically, oh, no, you don't have this now. No, you just need to find another doctor. I'm like, well, okay. When he's validating everything I'm going through, when he's like, well, okay, this is what this deals with. This is, okay, I'm having 10 symptoms, and you're telling me there can be 15 symptoms. I'm having 10 of them, and when everything you're telling me is adding up, okay, when I'm in pain every day, that's just in my head. When I'm sore, when I'm fatigued, when I'm tired, when I'm this and that and that, you know, so.
Thing with muscle issues, unless it's muscle dystrophy and you're in a wheelchair, and fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, people don't think, they don't take it as serious. It's not as serious as diabetes.
Yeah.
But it is.
Unless you look like Stephen Hawking, they don't believe you.
Or they don't think it's serious.
Yeah.
They might believe you somewhat, but they don't think it's a serious.
Yeah. And that's a big issue. Because that goes on a lot in this country. You know, you don't know what the other person's going through until you live. I don't want someone to walk a day in the life of my shoes. I don't want it. But I try to educate people so that next time you see a 20-something or 30-something with the disability placard, you won't just sit there and, what the heck, you won't give them the third degree. I mean, I am going now for like my fourth or fifth doctor's appointment with my regular doctor this year, because I'm trying to get on a narcolepsy drug to help with severe fatigue and tiredness. And, well, since I do not actually, because of the classification of the medication, since I do not have narcolepsy, they will not cover it. There's like two things you have to have. I forget what it. And imagine if that was the same with Viagra. Well, sir, yeah, I know it helps with erectile dysfunction, but since you don't have blood pressure problems, that's what it was pharmaceutically tested and everything for. So, sorry, you're out of luck. You're gonna have to pay for it yourself. You know, it's struggles that we deal with, that most Americans deal with, that most people don't get. And then a bunch of people, now there's this big push. If my sister's diabetic, and Humalog hasn't changed, but the price is quadrupled. And they're like, well, yeah, we need to fix it with universal health care. Yeah, that'll fix it. What they'll say is, okay. Yeah, that's what we need, a healthcare system where the government's going to tell you what you have done, when you have done, if you haven't done. Well, you can have a mammogram, but we ain't paying for it because the Surgeon General doesn't recommend it needs to be done till you're like 70. Well, you can have it done when you're 40, but we ain't paying for it because the Surgeon General says you don't need it. Because I guess now there's some hip hooraying, because I guess there's this new controversial drug act that Trump is supposed to sign that says, like, okay, if you're terminal or you have like something very bad, that you can try a medication that necessarily hasn't gone through the FDA process if you're willing to take the risks or whatever and all this stuff. And and they say that cannabis would be one of those that's in there, but then how would, but then it's only, so they're going to legalize federally medical marijuana. Well, not really. You have to be terminal, basically. You have, and if you read all the fine print, well, you'd have to be almost dying and nothing else is working for you, and then they might give it to you. You know, just federally legalize this stuff and get it over with. Millions of pounds of that stuff are in this country every minute. I mean, I don't get it. Because I've had gun debates with people. Well, we need to have gun legislation. We need to, and I'm like, well, I said, like, that's going to do anything. Oh, so you just want to let kids die? I said, well, back when I was in school, you had a gun rack in the back of your truck and in the window, and you had two shotguns. There weren't mass shootings in school. I said, there's billions of tons of, I mean, cocaine is coming into this country by the kilos, hundreds of kilos every day, but it's banned. Counterfeit's illegal, but heck, you can find all kinds of counterfeit stuff. You know, it's just waking people up. You know, because of issues we deal with, there is some, in the support group, there's a lot of discriminational type issues that are discussed. It's just one of those things that people don't think about or realize. You know, it's still that, it is, oh, only a white can be racist. You know, only blacks can be discriminated against, only this and that, all these stereotypical things, but it's not the case. And I just tried to get people and wake them up to realize that there's all kinds of stuff that's going on. But just one man trying to make a difference, you know, in a world of double standards. What a weekend, folks. As you all know, hopefully you got to give thanks to all the people that made the ultimate sacrifice this weekend, because that's what Memorial Day is. Thanking all those who sacrificed so much so we can have freedom. And also, as many of you know, it was the Indianapolis 500. What a race. It was 900 degrees Kelvin in the Coke lot where we've camped before, where I've camped like three times. Somebody died and they believe he was by himself. And it's this notion that, oh, I've had 10 beers, I'm hydrated. Beers dehydrate you, and they don't drink water, and I guess he got dehydrated really bad. Was in his car and had like a heat stroke and died. And it's sad, because you see all these people like, hey, make sure you drink plenty of fluids. And they just, oh, I got beer, I'm fine. I don't drink water. I got beer. I'm saving water. I'm drinking beer. Well, water is the number one component besides yeast and barley and malt and hops. It's not like beer is, it's not like they take the barley, malt, and hops and juice it and ferment that. It's just sad. But it was an incredible, incredible race. I mean, I feel bad for Danica because it was, of course, her last race. And I wanted to at least see her finish. But she wrecked out. And I'm like, Sebastian Bourdais, my driver's like, yeah, he's fifth for like the first 45 laps, 50 laps. And he seemed to be just like checking out the course, feeling it out. And then he ends up getting too much air behind his wing, and he spins around, and bang, I'm like, ah. And then Elo Castroneves, he's out, and I'm like, And I was hoping, you know, I want to see Ed Carpenter win because he's a hometown boy. Not my driver, but his hometown boy. So it'd be really cool to see him. And Willpower ended up winning the race. And it's a good time. It's a good time because they have, like, the on Legends Day, they have all the old cars out there. And you get to see all the old Indy cars and stuff. And it's just so neat. And, of course, they have the autograph session in the morning where you can get all, where you can get some of the drivers. And I guess I haven't made it to, I didn't make it to Legends Day last year, but I guess last year they started a thing for like the two autograph sessions where they have like the legends where you can get like old people's autographs. They have like wristbands now. You come in at 8 o'clock and you can get a wristband. You're able to get a signature where before we used to wait in line. You'd be there at like 9 o'clock waiting. No, last year we didn't go because that was when they started the wristbands last year. It was the year before. But it's just crazy. It's like, because that's what they do in NASCAR. They give you a coin.
We saw every year.
Not last year we didn't.
Mario and Buddy.
No, that was the year before. Last year we didn't go. I don't remember why, but we didn't. Because like in NASCAR, they give you a coin. And like when they had their own trailers, and like Dale Jr. was going to sign autographs, they had like 30 coins. And when they gave out the 30 coins, that was the amount of time he had. And last year they started a wristband thing so that you don't have people getting there at like 9 o'clock and waiting until noon for autographs. That way you can do other stuff and then come back. And so, but it was cool. But anyway, it's just weird because like I'm like, yeah, let's try to see if we can get mine. And oh yeah, they have started last year. They did wristbands, which is different. But I got to get Sebastian Bourdais' autograph, which is really cool. And it was, and I got one of his. They have a memorabilia shop, and I went in there, and they had like one of his jerseys. And my I have a jersey from Barracuda Networks for Alex Tagliani. I paid like $79 for it because you can't find anything in him because he only races every so often. And I found this and I'm like, he goes, how much? He goes, it's $25. I'm saying like, I don't know if I want to pay $20 or $25. And I'm like, I'll take 20. When you take 20, he goes, what the heck? So I got it for $20. I'm like, holy crap, these things are not cheap. So you get some good deals at the memorabilia show because a lot of the people that have a bunch of that stuff and they'll bargain with you. As long as you're not too low ball, they're really cool.
I wanted $25 for your shirt, and I told you to say
20.
Take 20.
And that's what I mean, I do that when I get a lot of things, but I want to get into a little bit of transfer news as we get into Manchester United and the United Stands stuff and things that's going on because we're talking a lot about, you know, is Fred coming to Manchester United? There's talk about it. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff because I think Fred is a done deal. I think Milinkovic Savage is a done deal. I think he is coming. You know, are we going to have, is Ronaldo or Bale coming? I would love to have, I mean, granted, Cristiano Ronaldo is in better physical shape than Bale for his age. He's older because Ronaldo's 33, but Bale's 29. But if we're gonna get rid of Anthony Martial, then I don't want to do it. I don't want to sell our soul out just for a title. I want the way we always did it, coming from the development and youth. And I've even said, why don't we get someone like a Bale in there and help him develop the youth and help him be there for the youth and help him, okay, you know, and help him, you know, since Mourinho is not really someone that's going to develop the youth and not be there, and why not? I think if we got Fred, we got a Milinkovic Savage and you know, those would be two great signings. Then if we could get a Gareth Bale or a Ronaldo, that'd be incredible, but I don't know. I wonder if they're just saying what they're going to say to hopefully get a better contract and hopefully they can get more money out of Real Madrid. I don't know. There's a lot of people, even though Cristiano Ronaldo said what he said, you know, that hey, it was nice working, nice being at Real Madrid, but he's just said that to, hey, I'm going to pretend like I want to leave so that they'll pay me. And hey, you need to keep him. I don't know. I just don't want to get rid of Anthony Martial. I think he's too good of a player to, and we need to develop him. I mean, we should have gotten Fabinho. Just irritates me that he's at Liverpool. Oh, that just irritates me because we should have had him. He's been on our radar for so long, and nope. 90 seconds left in the program, folks, and this is the most frustrating time of the season because now there's millions of rumors. Who's coming? Who's going? Who's this? Who's that? We need to get some players in here before the World Cup because once World Cup happens, there's not going to be a lot of sales, and there are teams that are going to try to hold on to their player because he's going to the World Cup, and if he has a really good World Cup game and World Cup season, we can try to get more money for him. So, I want to thank you so much for tuning in to the program that I hope you feel a part of, and I hope you take and you go with it, and you do. You know, anyone can bash Trump. Well, then what are you doing to try to solve the problem? Well, we got to get Trump out of there. Well, how's that? No, what are you? Okay, Trump is going to be here. He's going to win 2020. So what are you going to do to try to get to fix the problem? How are you going to better your community? How are you going to fix the problem without getting rid of Trump? Thanks. The firm alliance and the protection of the divine providence who meet you, pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Until this Thursday, good night and God bless. Goodbye.